And I was in front of heaven, and it said, court is in session in the courtrooms of heaven. And the angel of the Lord that stood before the door would not let me in and said to me, the destinies, the ministries, the churches of this nation and economy, everything in this nation is being determined right now. And it's not yet been determined. It is in process, and the court is in session, and it will not be determined until around September. What you're feeling, this holding pattern you're feeling, the way going, is because the heaven court is in session. Now, here's one loophole we have. Jesus is a lawyer. And here's the loophole we have. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray during times of decisions, I will change the situation. I will heal their land. Another loophole in Scripture is, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the earth during times of transition, during times of judgment, to see if there's a people who will stand up and like Moses did and said, Lord, if you do this or if you let this happen, take me out with it. And because of that soberness that was in Moses' spirit, God changed the course of history because of one man. God can change the course of history because of one church or one group of people or one person. And I'm speaking to you. The Lord said to me, speak to you like Nathan the prophet spoke to David when David was ready to build the tabernacle. David was ready to build this great thing and do this great revival, and he thought he had it all together. And Nathan said, go for it. You can do it. It's wonderful. It's great. And he walks away, and the Lord said to Nathan, you have lied. You're a prophet. I've called you to tell the truth. You go back and tell him there's some stuff that's got to be fixed before I do what I'm about to do. And I'm telling you, we have about 3 or 4 months of grace left to fix what we need to fix, to get our hearts sober, to get before the Lord, to get a download, to get our place in God, so that we're able to withstand the strength of this storm that's going to come. Because if you don't, you will be blown around by every wind of doctrine, and you'll be blown around by every negative circumstance and all that comes to you. And what should have been the finest moment in your Christian experience will be a defining moment that will put you underneath the oppression of what's going to happen. And instead of being walking in your greatness, you will finish your life in brokenness, and there will be great regrets of us never becoming what we could have been if we would have drawn close to the Lord in this Kairos moment that He's called us to. So, Father, I prophesy into this lives of those that are here. I prophesy to the church in America. Lord, we prophesy to the government. We prophesy to the kingdoms of this world. And I declare in the Spirit, Lord, that we align our wills to this. No, I'm praying now. I'm not prophesying. We align our wills to this, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that if you allow us this pad of time to call a solemn assembly and to be serious with you, that you shall bring us to passionate pursuit of destiny. And accelerated destiny shall leap off of the calendar December 31st of this year. When that blue moon rises this year, that rarity, once in a great opportunity, we have once in a lifetime opportunity this year to walk out of the number 9, which is a number of the Holy Spirit, into the number 10, which is the Hebrew number for government. We have the opportunity to walk out of just mere gifting and Holy Spirit, which is wonderful, into a realm of government. And Lord, we take that, we declare that, and we agree with that in Jesus' name. And the Spirit of the Lord would say, I am shaking, I have arisen to shake in all things. And I said in Scripture, says the Lord, that I would shake everything that could be shaken. And you said, but we have heard that prophecy over and over. And the Lord says, because of my graciousness, I am putting it off. And I keep pushing it out, and I keep giving a reprieve to the church, because you're not ready. Because most of the leaders are not ready. Because the church in this nation has leaned into casual Christianity and has forgotten the pursuit of Christ and pursuit of passion. So the Lord says, out of my mercy and out of my goodness, I have decided that you shall no longer be children, that you shall no longer walk under the oppression of ignorance, that you shall no longer walk under the oppression of casual Christianity. And my goodness that has perverted many of your hearts and lives to think that because I'm blessing you, I'm affirming everything that you're doing. The Lord says, I'm about to remove a portion of that grace by the end of this year, and you're about to have to stand on your own feet, and you're going to have to declare your alliance with me. The Lord says, you will either be John or you will either be Peter. You will either stand with me, and you will stand by my mother at the cross, and you will embrace her, and you will declare, this man is my friend, or you'll be the Peter who denies this path that's happening, and you will back up afar off, and you will watch the crisis go down. The Lord says, I'm putting before you a decision this year. I'm putting before you, choose this day day what you will serve. Will you serve casual Christianity? Or you will serve a depth of Christianity, a passionate pursuit of Christ, a soberness, a solemn assembly that leans into the truth of God, into the Spirit of God, and into the time of God in the Kairos moment, says the Spirit of the Lord. If you will do that, if you will consider that this year is a year of grace and a year of judgment, it's a year of bitter and it's a year of sweet, it's a year of good news, it's a year of bad news. If you will consider that and rightly divide the truth and understand and let God open your eyes and let me open your eyes to the spirit of Issachar to discern the times and the seasons and where you live, I shall cause you like a city set on a hill to rise in this nation. I shall cause the church in this nation to begin to grow, but it shall be different. It shall not be the mockery that it has been. It shall not be the casual Sunday school that it has been. It shall not be the kindergarten mentality that you have lived in, but it shall be a mature, developed son and daughter of God. For I shall equip you till you come into the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the stature of Christ, and I shall grow you up, and it shall be said of you as it was said of Peter and John, surely they are ignorant and unlearned, but they have been with me, says the Spirit of God, because my Spirit is going to be transplanted, my Spirit is going to be imparted to the church, and I'm going to visit the church this year, and it's going to be great shall this visitation be, says the Spirit of God, and it shall be so proud, profound like Daniel, that you shall come to service thinking you're going to jump for joy and find that you're going to be on the floor like Daniel, trembling, nauseating at your stomach because the Ancient of Days is standing before you declaring the 70 weeks and what is about to happen upon the earth. The Lord says, I am come down as I did with Moses when I heard the distress and the cry of the church. I came down and I delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. And I have come down and I'm bringing down and I'm coming down and I'm stepping my foot into the center of the church and I'm declaring my church is holy ground. I'm declaring that my church is holy. I'm declaring that it is the holy place. I'm declaring that my church is the church of the word. I'm declaring my church is the church of the spirit. I'm declaring that my church is the church of maturity. I'm declaring that my church is a city set on a hill. No longer a mockery in this nation. No longer a polluted stream, a weak stream. No longer a church of indecision. No longer a Laodicean spirit in the church of lukewarm. But I'm bringing liquid pursuit and hot pursuit and zealous anointing into the church of Jesus Christ this year. And I'm giving it as an opportunity, says the Lord. I'm giving the church the opportunity to embrace and to envelop what I'm about to do. But first, before I do that, as I did in the temple, says God, I shall drive out the money changers. I shall overturn the tables. I shall set things right. I shall call things to order. I shall bring things in its right place. I shall do what I'm called to do. I am the pastor of the church. I am the shepherd of the church. I am the prophet of the church, says the Lord God. I am the ruler of the church. I am the apostolic leader. I have the spirit of prophecy on me. I am the priest of the church. I am the lawyer of the church, and I'm about to bring, as it were, order to my church and my family, and I'm about to sit down with my family and have a heart-to-heart talk this year, and I'm going to take my rightful place once again in my family and in the church, and the world shall know that the righteousness reigns in the church, and that the Lord is Lord of all, and like Peter, you will say, this day, he that was crucified hath become both Lord and Christ in the church. And the world will be stunned by the power and presence of the Lord that is coming. And as they descend further and further, as they have this year, as Hollywood has experienced death after death after death and destruction, and monies have gone down and economies have gone down, as they descend down this path, the Lord says, if you will hear me this year and lean into me, I will cause you to ascend. I will cause you to ascend to your rightful place that I have called you to be, and you shall be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come I may show the exceeding greatness of my kindness to you. For it is by grace that you are saved, and not of works, lest any of you shall boast. Because we have this treasure, and it is you in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory of the knowledge of God may be in Christ and in you, and that glory may be broadcast through the earth. And it shall say, they shall say, the church is alive and well, and Jesus is seated in his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. And you shall say, way like John the Revelator, I heard a voice and it said, come up here, come up here. And the Lord says, I'm speaking to you today. Come up here, come up here, come up here, come up here, come up here. Ascend, ascend, ascend. And John said, and I went up and I saw one walking among the seven golden candlesticks, and his head and his hair were white like wool, and upon his garments were white, and his feet burned like brass in the fire, and his eyes were like flames of fire, and a two-edged sword went out of his mouth, and in his hands were seven stars. And I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his hand upon me. He said, fear not, get up, for I am he that was dead and alive, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the power of the keys of the kingdom for the church, and whatsoever you loose is loose, and whatsoever you bind is bind, because you are called to co-reign with me. The Lord says, you're about to see the Jesus of Nazareth who has been resurrected that John saw in the book of Revelation, and you're about to hear the word, come up here, and I will show you great things that are yet to come. So the Lord says, ascend, ascend, ascend. The prophet David said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart? The Lord said, it's a time for repentance. It's a time for change. It's a time for inner gazing. It's a time for meditation. It's a time to get it right. It's a time to grow up. But the Lord says, you have been sheltering, and that's fine. And when you're a child is good. But the time has come to grow up, and I've called sons and daughters to take on the tasks of the Father's business and to grow up. And I put the mandate out. Whosoever will, let them lay down their life and follow me. For unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, and it shall raise up, it shall bring forth much fruit. Know ye not that you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God? And as you have been buried with him in baptism, so shall you be in the likeness of his resurrection. Therefore you shall not walk in the unrighteousness of mankind. But the Lord said, the righteousness of God shall be your mandate. It shall be the expression of my kingdom, because I'm about to do something catastrophically, extraordinarily off the chart, marvelously wonderful in the earth and in the church. And I'm offering you an opportunity. You can sign up for it and you can ride the crest of this thing, or you can casually go about your way and have a great life and it'd be wonderful, and you will hear the Lord say, well done, enter in, but you will not receive the crown of life that is placed upon the heads of those who have martyred and given their life for the gospel and for the kingdom and for the gospel of the kingdom that I'm bringing. You are living in the hot spot of history. You are living in the greatest times of history. Prophets and saints and angels desire to be where you're at right now. And the Lord says, the tragedy is you don't know it. We're asleep. The Lord says, you're asleep. So the Lord says, awake thou that sleepeth. Awake from the dead and arise, and Christ shall give you light. Shake off your slumber like Samson shook off the blindness and the slumber, and put your hands to the pillars of Dagon and begin to push under the strength of God and bring the house down, because God says, I'm destroying the temple of men, and I'm raising up the temple of Solomon, says the Spirit of the Lord, and it shall begin this year, not next year, this year. This is the beginning of the beginning of the beginnings of the beginnings of the beginning, says God. And you are a favored people, says God, to be invited in what I'm about to do. So the Lord says, humble yourself. If you need me, go to your prayer closet, go to your floor, lay on the ground, go out and do whatever you need to do. The Lord is saying, to get your heart connected with the time that you're living in, and say, God, change my heart that I can truly co-labor with you in what you're doing. So Father, we receive that. Sorry, I didn't mean to go for there, but it's in me, the spirit of prophecy. The scripture says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And Jesus is testifying this year that this year is his year. And when Jesus testifies, the spirit of prophecy just breaks into the church. I mean, it's the announcement, like a sonic boom is the announcement that a plane has gone through the sound barrier. The spirit of prophecy is the announcement that Jesus has stepped through the sound barrier in the church and is declaring, because the scripture says, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And God is saying that to the church in America. So Father, we receive that and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. I saw a vision just then. I saw people with their heads under the chair, underneath their chair, because of the fear of God, because of the presence of God. So just take, if before we have to do offering, we have to do other stuff, and we need to do that, that's fine. Jesus invented tithing, so if there's no offerings in heaven, but there may be, I don't know. But I do know that just take this minute and just say, God, whatever it takes. Gosh, whatever it takes. This morning the Lord said to me, find somewhere, I don't care if you have to go to the bathroom, get on your hands and knees, put your head under something and humble yourself. Because the prophet said, until this man or woman will I look. To they that are a humble and of a contrite spirit will I look. For those that humble themselves shall be exalted in due season. We're in due season. We're in a kairos, see that word due season, a kairos moment. So the way to be exalted in a kairos moment is to humble yourself. When you see a kairos moment, get your head down, get rid of pride, get rid of your agendas, get your head down, get on the floor, put your face in the carpet and say, like the prophet Isaiah says, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, I'm a man of unclean lips. Help me God, help me God, help me God. Because you can't see the glory of God fill the temple until you say, I'm a man or a woman of unclean lips and I've not understood what is going on. And I repent, God, align me with what you're about to do. So if you want to find a place, just get, I want to get my head under the chair. I mean, whatever it takes to cover, for the act of humility, because God has called a solemn assembly. He called it this morning through Jeff. He called it through the Spirit. So Father, we receive that in Jesus' name. Can we take 2 or 3 minutes for that? Just do that. As you're doing this, just want to say, just to take this one step forward, we have to repent for the sin of Lot and his wife. I'm not talking about just you. I'm not picking on you. Me. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the church in America. Lot missed his moment of visitation because he was casual. And it says his righteous soul was vexed by the society that he lived in. We are righteous people. We're God's people. We're wonderfully, awesomely made. We're righteous, but our souls have been vexed because of the society that we live in, and casualness of the American dream and lifestyle has really polluted the holy stream that was in Lot. And he nearly, had not been for God's grace, he would have missed his moment of visitation. Lot's wife had another problem. It was called hesitation. And she lost her moment of visitation because of hesitation. And we need to repent, just do it now, of either hesitation or casualness. Because casualness and hesitating will cause you to miss your moment of visitation. There's a visitation coming. And when you're doing that, I gotta be real strong and say this. One of the fundamental sins that Eli was judged for, that the church has been judged through the years, is immorality in the people of God. Adultery, affairs, sexual immorality. And you gather 25 people together, and it will be there somewhere. So it doesn't take a prophet to know that it's in this building. It doesn't take a prophet to know it's in the church across the street, in the church down the street. It's in everywhere people are gathered together. God is calling us short upon that. If you're here, you don't have to tell anybody. If you're in adultery, if you're having an adulterous affair, or if you are thinking about, if you've been tempted, are you walking down that path? Are you in an illegal relationship or a premarital relationship? You got to stop. You got to say, God, this is your moment. This is your morning to get it right. That is one. There's two sins that are killing us in the church. That is one. The second one is bitterness and unforgiveness and gossip that all go together and that speak evil of our leaders and speak evil of each other. And cause disunity in the church. And I'm not, again, picking on you. This is for every Christian in this nation, especially for me, leaders, and everyone. So, Father, I'm just going to lead you in this prayer. And, Father, we ask your forgiveness. If this is a solemn assembly, then when they call solemn assemblies in the Old Testament, what they did is they confessed their sins in solemn assembly when the Bible was read and the words were read by the priest in Ezra. They confessed their sins. And Lord, we confess, I stand here as a priest and I confess repentance for the sin of adultery and sexual immorality among the people of God, because that's what brought Israel down when Moses went away. That's what brought Israel down before they went into the promised land. It's always the Achilles heel of the church is usually always immorality. And that level from leadership to sheep, from pulpit to pew, it has been the downfall of the church century after century after century. We have to overcome that thing. And Lord, we repent of that. And you out there that are involved, maybe that's your temptation. You're involved in that. You don't have to raise your hand. Don't even, not just in your heart, say, God, please help me. Cry like David did. You read the Psalms. David fell into the same thing, and he was a mighty man of God. His heart was after God, but he said, my eyes are wet with tears all night long because of the groanings in my heart, because of my sin has brought me down to the dust of the earth. And David cried out in repentance, and because of that, God restored him and kept his covenant with him and brought him to the apex of his destiny. So sin does not keep you from fulfilling your destiny. The lack of repentance from sin keeps you from fulfilling your destiny. So, Lord, we repent this morning for sexual immorality in the church across the nation, in this church and every church. We repent for all that's happening, the affairs that are happening in church and the immorality. And like Lot, we stand here. We're a Lot church who are righteous souls have been compromised because of the environment that we're living in. And, Lord, we repent of that. We repent of that this morning. We also repent of procrastination and a hesitant spirit. Like Lot's wife, we're always looking back. Always looking back. And God, help us not to recreate the Lot's wife. Jesus, you said to our generation, remember Lot's wife. And it was a prophetic word to our church, to this generation. Remember Lot's wife. Be careful not to let your attachment to casual life that you had jeopardize your moment of transition into the visitation God is bringing you to, because the fire is about to fall. Father, I'm good fire. It's about to fall. So, Father, we ask for that, and we repent of that this morning in Jesus' name. We repent of that in Jesus' name. We repent of that in Jesus' name. And we ask that you would clean us, that you would scrub us like with fuller soap and make us clean as white as snow. We cry out like David because of his sin with Bathsheba. And we cry out, God, cleanse my heart, O God. Make it all new. Change my heart. Make me like you. And Lord, we cry out like David, help me, O God. For my soul goes down to Hades. Help me, O God. Deliver me. And like Paul who cried out, O wretched man that I am, God delivered me from the casualness of this body that I'm living in and the pollution that is around me. And Lord, you heard their cries and you lifted them up, and you're hearing the cry this morning. And great joy is in heaven. I hear the angels like dancing and singing because of the realization that we're having this morning of the awesomeness of God and the respect that he deserves and the holiness that's due him that we're giving him. So there's great joy in heaven. This is not judgment. This is deliverance. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you.
That's right.
We love you. We love you. We love you.
That's right.
One or two of us will die this year unless we change some of those things. We want to live to fulfill our destiny. So, Lord, remove the curse of death that comes from walking in disobedience from everyone in this room. Protect us. Like Israel was protected with the blood over their door when you made this great transition, this great shift in Egypt. Not one Israeli was hurt because they heeded the moment of their visitation. And they leaned into soberness and applied the blood of Jesus to their lives. So we apply that this morning, the blood of Jesus. Because it is that blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is John that said, we have fellowship one with another, and his blood cleanses us from all sins. So we stand forgiven, and we as leaders pronounce you forgiven. Can we do that? Pronounce.
Well, I was just going to say, Lord, just head of this house, Lord, let me just start confessing some stuff, Lord. Lord, first of all, Lord, just we confess, Lord, the sin of unbelief. Lord, we confess, Lord, where we have doubted you, Lord. Lord, we confess, Lord, also the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life, Lord, where those things have come in. Those are the three base places. That's what the devil tempted Jesus with in the garden. In the wilderness. And so, Lord, we confess that, Lord, as sin before you, Lord. Lord, we confess the sin, Lord, of prejudice. Lord, we confess the sin, Lord, of selfishness. Lord, we confess, Lord, the areas in our heart, Lord, that we still hold people, Lord, in contempt, or we still hold people accountable for wrong, where they have wronged us, Lord. Where there's places in our hearts, Lord, that we speak out, Lord, that we need to yield to forgiveness, Lord, and we haven't done that yet, Lord. I ask, Lord, for grace. Lord, I ask, Lord, for grace. Lord, I ask, Lord, for mercy. Lord, as we, your people, Lord, are beginning to release, Lord, the individual sins, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would remove, Lord, as Larry was talking about, the places in our hearts, Lord, that become so vexed, especially, Lord, as it pertains to sexual immorality. Particularly, Lord, as it pertains to sexual immorality, and where we have sided with that, or we've become accustomed to seeing the advertisements and hearing about stuff, and every TV show, every radio show, is somehow that it's intertwined with jokes and. And so, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, of that, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, of the joking and the casualness and the coarse jesting. And Lord, even, Lord, where we are prone, Lord, to listening to gossip, Lord, I'm just confessing everything. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm just confessing everything, Lord, asking you to cleanse me, cleanse this house. Lord, we say, Lord, as a group, we repent. We turn aside. We turn our back. We confess it as sin. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just pronounce over you, you are forgiven. You're forgiven. Receive forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. Again, receive forgiveness. There's no condemnation. This is no condemnation.